My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Kings Spurs tonight at 7. They start the second half of their season against an 11-44 Spurs team. We have talked about on our show, The Insiders, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday. We have talked about not slipping up in these games. Taking on a team that you're better than. The Kings are better than the Spurs by a lot. And they should be on most nights. Problem is through the first 54 games, we saw too many nights where the Kings were worse than a team they should have been better than. Mm-hmm. And I think this is such a tone-setting game for the rest of the second half, because we can talk about the rotations, we can talk about the depth, we can talk about what's the core look like now, what's it look like. But for this year, for the 2023-2024 season, if the Kings are going to make some kind of run, it has to start with just beating teams like this on their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that you can't slip up.
No.
You can't let this game go by. And it's a tone setter. You got a bit of a break. I mean, you finish the pre-All-Star break schedule with two extremely tough games on the road. Mm-hmm. Maybe even three really tough games on the road. Mm-hmm. With OKC and then, of course, Phoenix and Denver on the back-to-back. You fought through. You lost to the Suns, but you played a good game. Mm-hmm. You fought through in a where you couldn't make shots, and you battled through and beat a really good Denver Nuggets team.
Yep.
Now you have a little bit of momentum. Can that carry through? Mm-hmm. Because after this game, schedule gets much tougher for the next 4 or 5, and you're going to be in a battle. And this is where the real teams in the NBA stand up in the post-All-Star game schedule. And we did not think that the Sacramento Kings would be one of those teams last year. I thought that they would fade and they'd probably end up around a 6 seed. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. This year, they're coming out of the break at the 8 seed, but with virtually the same record. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to show that they can turn it up and be the team that they were last year, but better.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that they can do that, but this is the first test and you can't slip up.
All right, let's talk about some keys to victory for the Sacramento Kings against the San Antonio Spurs at Golden 1 Center tonight. James, what is your first... Oh, hang on, I got buttons. What is your first key to victory for the Sacramento Kings against the San Antonio Spurs?
Stop talking, start doing.
Me or them?
Them.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to hear any more about the three-point shooting defense. I don't want to hear about getting more paint touches or getting to the free throw line or how many more free throws you can make. I don't care about what you think about your pace whatever it is you have to do, stop talking about and just do it and fix it.
That's it. That's not necessarily a point of frustration, but you're right. At some point, like you just gotta do stuff.
Yeah.
You
gotta win games, man.
And that's what Mike Brown has talked about. And we know what we're supposed to do. We're coaching it, and you just gotta execute it.
Yes.
And then we'll see how that goes. Mine ties in a little bit with this. They have to set a tone for the second half tonight. They have to go out and play like their hair's on fire. I want to see a Kings team. Whether they hit a bunch of shots or don't, I don't. That matters less to me than going out and asserting their will on this game.
Yes.
And that is, if they can do that tonight, and I think if they do that, they win comfortably. If they go out tonight and win 131 to 110, I feel so much better about the next couple of games and so much better about the idea that they're picking up where they left off in the couple of games before the break.
I totally agree with you. And I'd even point out, like, look, this is a team that you didn't put away earlier in the season. This is a team that you were tied at half. You were up one at the end of three quarters, and then you ended up beating by a total of 129 to 120. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough tonight. Nope. Tonight, it's dropping the hammer on a bad team and showing them who you are and who you're going to be for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Set that tone.
1,000%. Number two.
Trust your defensive principles. And I know we've talked a lot about how Mike Brown and his group, like, they're very concerned about their three-point defense. This is the worst three-point shooting team in the league. Let them shoot their threes.
Boy.
Let them shoot. Follow your principles. Go show that you can you can show on the perimeter that you're getting into guys that are shooting threes. But whatever it is, this team will not beat you from three. They can beat you inside. They'll beat you because they out-hustle you. They'll beat you because they've got a 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. But if you really, really get down to it, this is the worst three-point shooting team in the league. They shoot 33%. Let them shoot.
That is also my second key. The three-point defense thing needs to start tonight. You cannot let a team that is 11th in the league in attempts and 30th in percentage go hit 43% of their threes, which is what teams are hitting against the Kings the last 2 months.
Oh.
42.7% the last 2 months. That's nuts.
Crazy.
That is way too high. This is a bad team. And if somebody does happen to get hot, if Devin Vassell starts 4 or 5, I would like to see the adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them get in his hip pocket, contest the way that Mike Brown talks about. If the Spurs shoot it at 40%+ tonight, I'm giving up. I'm giving up on the idea that there's some turnaround in three-point defense and that this is just what the Kings are.
Mm.
That's it.
Okay.
Show me tonight the three-point defense has changed. Number three.
For me, score 130+. the Spurs are a bad defensive team, but they also like to run. Just make them pay. You should be better at running and better at scoring than they are because they aren't very good and they're young and they've got a bunch of holes in their roster. Go out there, push the tempo. If they make shots, get the ball out of the basket and down the court like you did last year, like you have shown a couple of times. Push the pace, push the tempo, crush this team.
They are third in the NBA in pace at 101.5. That is possessions per 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said possessions per 100 possessions. That's not right. Possessions per 48 minutes. 101.5 is a lot. They are also 24th in defensive rating and 26th in net rating. So this is a team that likes to run and is bad at it. I totally agree with you. The Kings need to get out and run, and I think the way they do that hits my third key, and that is your stars need to be stars. That's it. The Kings have, there's Victor Wembanyama, but the Kings have the two best players in this game, and then probably six of the best seven players in this game.
Yes.
Seven of the best eight. I'm not going to go through both rosters and figure that out. But Victor Wembanyama's up there for San Antonio, and I like Devin Vassell as a player, but he's not. Like the Spurs just do not have enough. The Kings just need their... You need De'Aaron Fox to be good. You need Domantas Sabonis to be good. I want to see a good Keegan Murray game. I want to see a good... Like, just get... If their stars play well, the Spurs have zero chance. I don't think there's a path to victory for San Antonio where we come in and you go, man, the Kings played really well offensively, but the Spurs just outscored them. That's not in the cards.
I agree. Right. Yeah, this is a game that you got to go out and get and stop talking. Just go out and play it.
I'm excited to watch Victor Wembanyama, though.
Mm.
I know we talked about that a little bit earlier, but man, somebody in the chatty house mentioned this earlier. And if you're not in on the bit from the insiders, which James and I host from 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, right here on ESPN 1320. If you're not familiar with the bit, I've never seen the beam lit in person because when I stay the whole game, they lose.
You're a jinx, Kyle.
It is uncanny how often this happens. And so I'm staying the whole game tonight, but somebody earlier in the day suggested that maybe I go for pregame, take some video and photos of Victor Wembanyama warming up, and then I can just leave.
Mm.
Which may be the move.
That might be the move.
But then I don't get to watch.
But Kyle, you're also talking to a guy who's through his first 12 seasons covering this team was 240 games under 500.
So it's your fault.
It might be my fault. Maybe we're both the Jets. Maybe we both need to leave.
Hey, Michael, sit us. Michael's a Kings PR guy. He does a great job. Michael, sit us separately. Maybe it's because we're sitting next to each other that the just too powerful.
But I like sitting by you.
No, I know. We have a great time, and I'm very much looking forward to that. And I hope you are as well. Kings, Spurs, 7 o'clock tonight. If you can make it out, please do. If you're there, hit us up. Come say hi. James and I are approachable. So come say what's up to your boys out at Golden 1 Center. I cannot wait for that one. We got some more stuff coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment for us. D'Lo and KC going to start up here at 2 o'clock. That is not a permanent change. D'Lo and KC will be back in noon to 4. Appreciate everybody who is rocking with me and James today. We really, really appreciate it. If you are on YouTube, please head down to that thumbs up button and hit that for us. We would you would have our undying gratitude if you did that. We were talking about something earlier about the Kings and their roster and the vibe of the team this year. And I kind of wonder too, because you were talking about the players who maybe struggled because they were viewed as run it back pieces, but then were involved in every trade rumor regarding the Kings going up to the trade deadline. I kind of want to flip that on its side a little bit.
Okay.
And view this from the De'Aaron Fox Domas perspective. And less Domas and not less. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. Do you think there's any chance that even Keegan Murray is kind of looking down the bench and being like, we're not going to win a title this year. Like the rise was so meteoric last year that they go into the playoffs as the 3 seed and it's like, yo, running it back, going to be easy, figured the league out. The next step is title contention. And then they get into this year, and it's just kind of become apparent, like, ooh, maybe not. And maybe that's why we see some of the up and down nature of the team this year.
Yeah, Kyle, in all honesty, I agree with you. I think that there are plenty of times this season where I think you can look at how well the starting five has played, or how well specific players have played, and they're looking around like, where are you guys? Why are you not the same player you were last year? I'm better than I was last year, but you're not. And you're worse than you were last year, and I don't understand it. I think that there's been a lot of I call them like coming to Jesus moments, where you're looking over like I don't know how we get better. How do we do this? What happens here? Like, where you're honest with yourself and honest with the team and honest with the future and look over. I don't think Sabonis has those moments. I think Sabonis is so head down, charging forward, ready to run through a brick wall, and his mentality is super type A on the court. I've got to do this. He's so laser focused. But I do think that there, for me, in my opinion, maybe I'm off base, but I think there have been those moments for De'Aaron Fox for sure, where he's looking over like, okay, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this who we are again?
Yeah.
And I think part of that is residuals from 5 years of dysfunction before this all happened, where Domantas Sabonis walked in the door, Mike Brown walked in the door, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, before they walked in the door, where you start having the, oh no, here we go again moment. And I could see that happening for both Fox and for Harrison Barnes, because they've been through it. And, you know, you're as a human, you usually, whatever you try to be and try to go do great things, you usually come back to who you are. You come back to center at some point. And I think it's really hard for some of these guys to look around and be like, how do we take a leap forward with this group? And how do we go through a seven-game series, a battle, seven-game series where, again, Domantas Sabonis is going out there with a broken bone in his hand.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox is going out there with a jacked up index finger on his primary hand, his left hand. And you're fighting so hard and you're like, we need more. We need more to get through. And if we do bust through, then like we're going to need more in the next round. And then you come into the season and that more wasn't brought in.
Well, that's what, right. And that's the most logical explanation to me for the kind of highs and lows of this year. Because it's not, the energy is not the same. And I don't think it's not the players' personalities didn't change over the summer. So what the heck happened? And that to me is it. Like they've gotten into this year and it's just kind of like, man, it's hard to go perform your best when you're pulling up to work and you're like, hey, we have 28 games left. And I shouldn't say that because maybe something changed at the All-Star break and their new mindset. And I don't know. But when you're 30 games into the year and you're like, man, we got 50 plus games left and we've hit a ceiling. It's so hard to go out and be an MVP caliber player. If you're De'Aaron Fox, you're like, yeah, I'm busting my ass on the defensive end. I'm busting my ass on the offensive end. And I'm averaging 30 a game. And wait, we're not significantly better than last year?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just a human nature, and this is not a knock on De'Aaron Fox. I think it's just I say De'Aaron because that's the example. It's not a knock on anybody on the Kings.
Yeah.
If they're pulling up and going, you don't have it today.
Well, I also think, Kyle, there comes a point too where you've carried it. Like you've carried a team for so long, and then you're looking around and saying, man, I'm beat up today and I don't have my A+.
Mm-hmm.
And I need somebody else to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't.
Yes.
And that's when I think that we start to see, you know, again, we can look at a couple of games this season, but you know, the Kings win six in a row early in the season. In the last two games, you got Fox scoring 43 and 30. The next game after that, and he was just coming back off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
He scores 14 against the Pelicans. Nobody picked him up and they got clubbed. The team lost by 36.
Yeah.
Right? So you see these moments throughout the season where, you know, it's like, how many games do I have to carry? How many games do I have to be that guy? And then when I'm not, we just take a dive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think for me, that's where you start to get a little discouraged if you're De'Aaron Fox, a little in your head.
Yeah.
And you start looking at this like, okay, like how do we get better? And I want to be one of those guys over there that like everything is moving the right way the whole time. But like, look, I don't know. It's a hard discussion, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that he needs to fight through and realize that sometimes, and maybe he does, but that sometimes that's how the process works.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just not a vertical climb to the top.
Yeah.
And
no doubt.
You can't just be the bell of the ball like you were last year, like everyone, like the Kings were. That's not every year. They forget about you, they get bored with you, they move on to something new.
Yeah.
And you have to find a way to stay relevant, and you've got to find a way to keep pushing and being that team and that player. And I don't know, I think it's tough, but I also think
brutal.
That they're
super hard.
Yeah, there's a point in this season where it probably got a little disheartening for some of these guys, where it's like, look man, if I don't have it, I need somebody else to be the guy.
Can you imagine jumping on the radio and you're going to do a radio show and maybe you do feel this way, and if you do, let me know. I give this example and you're like, well, we got to have a talk.
Yeah.
No, but if I came in here, and I try really hard not to, but I know there's days where I'm not on and that happens sometimes. But if I came in here and 3 days out of five, I just didn't have anything for you. I was just like, yeah, no, I didn't watch a Kings game. Didn't watch any basketball. I got no Niner stuff. I just, what do you want to say? Like that would suck.
Yeah.
If you knew that, hey, every day I might come in here and I may or may not get something from the person who's supposed to be helping me do this show.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you do feel that way, let me know off air and we can talk.
We're good, Kyle. We're good. No, I mean, I think that goes for anyone that in any line of work. There are moments you're looking around and you're like, man, like, I don't even think it's that. It's everything. I mean, I'm sure there, like at home, there are people that there are wives that are like, why is it me that always has to put the new toilet paper roll on the toilet paper?
Okay, now this is a direct attack, and I will not. This is crazy.
It's one of the.
Are you at my house?
You know, what I mean? it's like, why is it always me? Yeah. And I think that's just human nature, and you can't let yourself get bogged down into it if you're an NFL, an NBA player, mm-hmm. because like an 82 game schedule. We say this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest grind there is.
It's really tough.
Even Major League Baseball, like. 162 games, like there's a lot of standing around. There's mm-hmm. a lot of chilling and hanging mm-hmm. out. Like a baseball day, like, yeah, it's a grind. You're there every day. But when you're talking about the NBA, it's just one place to the next. It travels crazy. Everything is crazy. And sure, you're staying in five-star hotels and you've got great food and you're traveling with like a really expensive jet that takes you everywhere. But that doesn't change the fact that you have to be on all the time and you've got to be what's next with the next game. And you can have a really tough loss and you can't let that carry over to the next game. And like a lot of things can get you down. It's a tough sport mm-hmm. because of just the daily grind that they go through.
Speaking of daily grinds, having nothing to do with the Kings, do you see LeBron James isn't playing tonight?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because of an ongoing ankle injury?
Yeah.
Didn't he just play like in the All-Star game?
I think he did, Kyle. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. No LeBron James tonight for the Lakers against the Warriors, if that matters to anybody. Fascinating. If I told you, let's in fact, you know what? Here. If I told you that one of the Lakers or Warriors was going to make some kind of run here in the second half, I don't think it's going to, but if I told you it did, hypothetically, which team would you be more worried about matching up against?
Warriors.
Why?
Because I think the Warriors always have your number. And, like the Kings have got over the hump here and there.
Yeah.
But they've also, like if the Warriors do piece it together, again, Chris Paul will have eventually come back.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul is also a guy who's always got under your skin, has always been able to get over on you.
On every team.
Yes. Yeah.
Chris Paul's just a pain in the ass.
No, he is, but I think specifically if you put that team against the Kings, I think the Kings can beat them. I'm not saying that can't. But the Kings like routinely beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Los Angeles Lakers. And it doesn't matter how many points Anthony Davis puts up, the Kings still beat him.
Yeah.
And so I don't fear that Lakers team as much. I don't care who
I think
you know, the guys, they bring it. Like, they're not, they're, again, I've said this, I don't think that they have winning players outside of LeBron.
And that's the thing that jumps out to me, because I look at LeBron and AD and I'm like, man, if those two are good in a series, they are a really hard team to beat. But that requires seven games of a 39-year-old LeBron in April or May being really good. And then seven games of Anthony Davis in April or May being really good. And then the supporting cast is a huge question mark, whereas you see Golden State, and it's like, okay, maybe Klay Thompson gets hot for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Kuminga is starting to come around. You already mentioned Chris Paul. It's like, it feels like there are more ways that they could swing an upset in that series versus the Lakers, where it's like, maybe LeBron and AD carry it, maybe they don't, but that's their only hope.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact is that you have LeBron averaging 24.8 points, 7.8 assists, 7.2 rebounds. You've got Anthony Davis averaging 24.9, 3.8, 12.2 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks.
Man.
And you're mid.
Yeah, they sure are.
I mean, you're 30 and 26 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
You're over 500, but at the same time, like this whole, oh, they figured it out. Oh, like what? Figure what out?
Yeah.
Like you got a bunch of other players who aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And who aren't winners. And so maybe they make a run. And again, they've won six out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it wasn't that long ago the Kings just went out on the road and won five out of seven.
Right.
That six out of seven, that's fine. But, you know, again, who did you beat? And, you know, there's a Charlotte in there. There's a Detroit Pistons in there. There's a Utah Jazz thrown in there. Yeah, you beat the Pelicans. You beat the Knicks, but the Knicks are beat up. You beat the Celtics, which is a surprise. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah, the Lakers currently two back of the Kings. They're the 9 seed. The Warriors, the 10 seed. 3.5 back of the Kings, quick math. The West is nuts, man.
Yeah.
Between the, what did I say earlier, 4 and 8, it's separated by 4.5 games.
That's wild.
5 and 8 is 1.5 games.
5 and 8 is 1.5 games. Yeah.
Man.
No, I mean, it's right there. It is right there for the taking.
That's the thing, is after all of this, and I think that's why, if we go back to the very top of the show, when I was like, I feel like I'm getting bamboozled.
Yeah.
But the flip side of me saying, well, we have 54 games of knowing what this team is, and now we're banking on 28 of them being the opposite of that,
mm-hmm.
or a different version of that. I think part of that stems from this. It's like, if they get hot for a little bit, they're comfortably in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, kind of what I keep going back to. But at the same time, if they're just kind of what they are, and they finish the season 8 games over 500, or even 10 over 500, what's that? What's 10 over? Help me.
46?
46 and 35?
No, 46 and 36.
46 and 36, thank you, math. If you're 46 and 36, you're probably in the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, that's, so they...
I mean, you're in the play-in. I would just
say... Yeah, they're not falling out.
Yeah, you're not going to fall out. You're going to be in the play-in.
They are 6 games up on the Jazz, who are not going the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a world where the Kings wind up not at least in the play-in. If that winds up happening, how do you ultimately view this season?
If they're in the play-in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Does it come down to whether they eventually make the playoffs?
Yes.
Like, that's,
yeah,
just,
if,
that's
if you miss the playoffs, this is it's a huge step back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major, major step back, Kyle.
Is it a step back, or is it just a greater lesson about what the team needs to be moving forward? Because we talk about Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. The only way to me this season is like, man, huge step back, is if you exit this year going like, ooh, I have doubts about Keegan as the third guy. That's the only way to me that this is like, oh man, panic button.
Okay. No, I get you, but I would say you could get to this offseason and you could lose Malik Monk, and now how do you not only get better, but get better while taking a step backwards at a primary position? And so that's, like, man, building something isn't easy. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, like, I think that there are so many steps that you have to, like, you don't want missteps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take the gigantic step backwards,
mm-hmm.
which at this point, like, look, the Kings haven't taken a step backwards as far as, like, who they are as of right now. Right now, they aren't, we can say they aren't as good as they were last year,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it's almost like how we compare the defensive coordinator.
Sure.
It is for the 49ers. It's that that you put the two things right next to each other. You put D'Amico Ryans, like, and you put Steve Wilks next to each other, and you look at the stats, and the stats uh-huh. say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They do. But everyone feels like the one year was better mm-hmm. than the next.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I feel right now. Like, they're almost identical.
It's like when you're a free throw away from winning $2,000 in prize picks and you win $200 instead.
Yes.
Like, you still like the $200, but...
But it's not...
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No, totally.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is one of those things where you've got to figure out a way to take a step forward. And you can still maintain and improve in this season.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Yeah.
But you got 28 games to do it.
Yes.
And that's why we talk about stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go and do it.
Yes.
Stop being this inconsistent team. Mm-hmm. Find your consistency. Find your voice. Find who you are as a group. And, you know, whatever you have, these tough conversations you have to have about players fitting into specific roles and what you need from somebody on each and given night, That's where we're at. Like, you need to have those conversations because, like, look, there is no guarantee that you make the playoffs. There is no guarantee that this is the beginning of a playoff run. Like, a playoff run has to be more than one season, and we haven't got there yet.
No.
So, like, this is one of those things where I think that it's going to get, if they don't make the playoffs, this will be one of the most uncomfortable off seasons that we've seen in a long time. Because I just don't think that, like, you gave not only your fan base, but your ownership group a taste of what the playoffs look like. And they don't want to go backwards. They were waiting a decade for this.
Yeah. And I guess, like, that makes sense logic. Like, I don't doubt that vibe and that feeling.
Yeah.
But I think long term, to me, if they finish as the seventh seed right now they're the eight. If they finish as the, you know what, let's say as the eight, because I don't want to say that they lost a play-in at home.
Okay.
But if you're the eight seed and you go to Dallas and you lose a play-in to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, and then you have to go to, or you host Golden State in the next play-in game, and you fall to Golden State. Like, that to me isn't, I don't know, that's tough. Now that I say that out loud.
That's your program taking a step backwards,
that
Kyle.
Is, no, you know what? You're right. I just talked myself into your point.
Yeah, because this year
you're right.
Is supposed
that would suck.
To be
that'd
about.
Be hard to, that'd be hard to swallow.
I think a lot of people keep thinking that this season, like, success wasn't just making the playoffs and just getting bounced in the first round again. Mm-hmm. Success was making it to the second round. That's how you build.
Sure.
And that doesn't always happen. Like, and to me, that would not be success. I mean that wouldn't be a failure if they get, again, take a team to seven games or six games and they lose in the first round.
Okay, back on my own point again.
Yeah.
What's the difference if they play the Mavs, they're the eighth seed, they go to Dallas, they beat the Mavericks, they're the seventh seed, they play Oklahoma City, they lose to Oklahoma City in six games in the first round?
What's the difference between that and not making the play-in?
Or losing in the play-in. Like, what off-season moves are different? Because I feel like in both scenarios, you go into the off-season needing the same thing, needing to make the same changes.
Okay, it's very simple. The difference between losing in the play-in and losing in the first round of the playoffs is if you lose in the first round of the playoffs, your first round pick goes to the Atlanta Hawks, and you don't have a first round pick this year, but July 1st...
Oh, if you lose in the play-in.
No. If you lose in the playoffs, your first round pick goes to the Atlanta Hawks. If you lose in the play-in, you're not a playoff team, you're a lottery team, and you have to keep your 2024 pick. And that's a big deal because that means July 1st this year, the Kings will have their 2025, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 first round picks to play with if they make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, their 2025, 26, and 27 are still tied up in the Kevin Huerter deal.
Oh, no.
And so 28, 29, 30, 31 are there.
Oh, no.
But that's the difference, Kyle.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Because if you make the playoffs, you give up your 2024 first-round pick, which is not a good pick.
Right.
Atlanta's not going to deal with you. If you call Atlanta and say, hey, can we pull the pick protections off our 2024 and you just take it? They'll be like, nope, we're good.
Yeah.
You guys just missed the playoffs. You could be worse next year.
Right.
Like, why would we don't want no this chance. Pick in this draft? Like, no chance they're taking that pick.
Although, if you say the right words in the right combination, you might just be able to trick the Hawks into doing it.
These are not
that
the
is
picks
a,
you're
that is a
for.
Makeshift front office.
These are not the picks you're looking for.
I can call Grant Lifman personally.
And tell him, take it. Take this.
Come on, Grant.
Do it. Take it for the team.
I love Grant. No, they're
but you understand what I'm saying. That's the difference.
Yeah. Like, no, I did not. You are right. I did not factor that into my thinking.
Yes. And that's why I say, like, this offseason becomes a lot crazier. It becomes a lot crazier. If you're bounced, then you don't have the ammunition that you need or that you might need. We don't know that a player is going to come up that the Kings would be able to go all in on anyways. But the fact is, you can't offer a team your 2025 pick or your 26 pick or even your 27. You can offer your 27, but it will be a conditional 27, which again limits you. Like a conditional 27, if it doesn't convey in 25, then you lose your 26. Like it's just a big mess. So yeah, it's not good. So yes, there are it.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah,
that's fair.
You got a lot of riding on this last 28 games, Kyle.
I was just thinking from like a development and like long term, it's like it's still Sabonis, it's still Fox, it's still Murray. At least I think it's still Murray, and then everything else beyond that, to me, is kind of up in the air. Regardless of, so let's take the play-in aspect out of this, because you're right, that's a disaster from yeah. just a picks and maneuverability standpoint.
I mean, it might be that you have the 23rd, the 22nd, I'm sorry, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th pick in the draft. Maybe you find a player right there. Maybe it's not a horrible thing. Maybe like this draft is not as bad as everyone thinks. I mean, there have been plenty of drafts that people think are the worst drafts ever, and then they don't end up being the worst draft ever. They end up being a good draft.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's around 12, 13, 14, 15 that you find that.
That is one of my, not to change the subject, but that is one of my favorite NBA draft things, is people just decide, people just decide in December, like, bad draft this year. Like, what?
I always like asking Sam Vecenie from The Athletic that how many man draft is this? And he goes, well, what do you mean, how many man?
Like really? Like,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. How many man draft is this?
Yeah.
Is it five? Is it 12?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this a great draft? Is it like, and that's how I usually judge it.
We're calling an audible. We're going to break right now. D'Lo and Casey coming up at 2:15-ish.
Oh.
So stay locked in. We're going to break now. And then we will be on a normal break schedule with D'Lo and Casey. Let's continue talking about this, because I want to talk about the whole idea of a good draft versus a bad draft. Mm-hmm. It's coming up next on The Insiders. Filling in for D'Lo and Casey, at least for the time being. D'Lo and Casey starting in about half an hour right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Mann, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, little audible.
A little audible.
DLC got stuck in the lab, grinding their Kings, getting ready for the second half of the season. So he said, hey, got you. So we're taking you up to 2:15-ish.
I was not consulted in any of this. I was not consulted.
Well, because I was doing this on the fly. I'm trying to figure this out. I didn't want...
I have this great exchange on media, since we have been talking about social media during the break, that I would like to read for you.
Please.
From Casey Pratt. I am in contact with the organization, and they insist they didn't have anything to do with Drake's Beer pulling a fans fest, at the last minute. And Ben Ross, our friend from former...
Right, Big NBC, Ben.
Yep. Ben Ross responded to Casey, luckily, they've proven the A's, is who we're talking about, to be very trustworthy, so we can believe them.
Great point.
Yes. Yes.
It turns out, shout out to Fieldwork Brewing and Altamont Brewing. Have stepped in as sponsors at the last second.
Yes.
Incredible.
Who are these people, and where do we send people to buy stuff?
It's Fieldwork Brewing. One in Berkeley. I think there's a Fieldwork in Sacramento.
Oh.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain there's a Fieldwork brewing here in Sac. Nope, there's not.
Oh.
Well.
Okay.
No, Fieldwork Brewing and then Altamont Brewing. Altamont Brewing is out in Livermore. Mm. It is in this, so there's this, I'm a big wine guy.
Yep.
And there is a, I cosplay as a wine guy. There's actual wine guy, like big wine people. I just like wine a lot. And there's this place in Livermore called The Block. And it's in this underrated wine country, Livermore, by the way. It is in this section of... like industrial buildings, and you can walk like 0.2 miles just around this corner, and there are like 6 wineries within this little walking distance.
Mm.
And in the middle of all this is Altamont Brewing.
Okay.
And it is just a great time. If you're looking for something to do that's not super far, what's the more from here? An hour and a half or so?
Something like that.
Not super far. Head down there. Make sure you have a driver. You can park and you just walk around all day and have a great time if that's your bag. So shout out to Altamont Brewing and Fieldwork, who have stepped in and sponsored for A's Fans Fest, which is this Saturday out in Oakland. I will be covering it. I'm hoping to get some good sound that we can use on the show.
Okay. You're going to be there.
I am.
And you're going to partake
doing,
in these.
I'm doing Big J journalism.
Okay. I'm all over it. I'm there. I'm here for you.
The Big J journalism thing is like a...
Yeah.
But the thing is if I can get somebody on the record, like, giving me something, I'm going to handle it responsibly.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to go with, like, I'm not going to go in a... I'm not going to look like a journalist, quote unquote.
You're going to wear your...
Oh, yeah.
Your sweatshirt.
Yeah, shopdeloncasey.com.
Yeah.
If you want to find the A's-related sweatshirt I'm wearing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, I'll pull it out. Like, I'll be in that, but, I mean, I'm not trying to give the idea that I'm impartial in some way. Okay. I'm very much not.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, no, and I, you know, it's funny because when we talk about sports, like, the one thing I have not allowed is my fandom of the A's to go away.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was my first true love. And so when you cover a team, you can't be a fan. Mm-hmm. Like, that, your fandom is over if you ever were a fan of the team. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, like, I'll just bring up Jason Jones, for instance. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people are always hard on Jason Jones because Jason Jones is a Laker fan. When Jason's on the job, Jason's not a fan. And I know it's sort of like a running gag that Jason is a Laker fan, whatever. But you lose all fandom when you do this job. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way to be a fan.
Yes.
And I also hear people go, oh, well, you know, James was a fan first, so, you know, he's mm-hmm. got our back. It's like, no, I've been impartial the entire time. I'm hard on the franchise when mm-hmm. they need to be hard, when we need to be hard on them. I'm like, when they do something great, you praise it. Like, especially like a playoff run or whatever, like, you have to keep objectivity, mm-hmm. but I refuse to do that when it comes to the A's. Like, I'm an A's fan. I've covered the A's a couple of times in my past, but I'm not going to cover the A's again. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times where you're looking at it like, okay, like, I don't have to be impartial. I can be a voice mm-hmm. that talks on the radio and talks about how god awful Rob Manfred is as a mm-hmm. as a commissioner, and how bad you know, ownership and management is of the A's, and I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just like a travesty.
Yeah. Real quick correction to my earlier thing: Fieldwork does have a location in Sacramento.
By Zocalo, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Shout out to Fieldwork if you're looking for a place to grab beer.
Yeah. Okay.
Big Fieldwork guy. I've been to the Berkeley location several times.
Okay. I haven't been to Berkeley since I lived there. I don't think
I've been to the one in Sacramento.
I lived in Berkeley a long time ago, and I don't think I've been back.
Yeah.
I don't... Smart. Well, maybe once. I don't particularly love Berkeley.
Okay.
Wasn't a great place to live. Just saying.
NBA. That's what we're talking about. Do the Timberwolves finish the year as the number one seed in the West?
No.
I'm gonna go rapid fire on this.
No.
Just Oklahoma City?
No.
Who wins the West?
Clippers.
In the regular season. You think the Clippers keep climbing?
Yeah, Clippers or I don't think it's going to be the Nuggets either. I don't have a lot of faith in what's happening right now, just because the Nuggets.
It's a weird vibe with the Nuggets. I did not expect them to be a team that, and they're 36-19. It's not like they've been bad.
No, but they're slow playing this.
Yes, and I didn't think they would do that.
No, Michael Malone's slow playing it. You can see he's reserving guys. I mean, look what they did against the Kings. Last game before they'd had a couple of days off, and last game before the All-Star break, and you decided to sit Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope against the Kings. Like, he's playing this thing the right way. He's not playing for regular season victories. He's playing for a championship. Yep. And hey, maybe the Kings are doing the same thing.
That's the other, like, I don't think that's what's happening, but that's, I think, another reason, again, going back to the very top of the show, I think that's another reason that I'm anchoring to this idea that there's a run here in the Kings. Mm. Because so many of their games have looked non-competitive in the way that they all went. And maybe it's what we talked about earlier. Maybe it's their top guys kind of looking down the bench and like, hey, man, this is not it. Like, I just can't. And, the, yeah. and that emotional energy isn't there. But maybe the emotional energy isn't there because they've gone, hey, man, we know the keys. We know that this is a grind into April, hopefully into May, and if everything goes right, into June. So save the legs. Don't gash yourself early and start playing your best basketball at the right time. Maybe that's what it is.
You know what it kind of feels like, Kyle?
I don't think it is, for what it's worth, but
you know,
go on.
You know when you're driving down the freeway and you want to drive fast,
mm-hmm.
but there's some guy in front of you in the fast lane with like a Corvette that's driving like 63.
The worst.
And you're just sitting there like you want to smack your head against the steering wheel. And
mm-hmm.
you're just like, come on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like the Kings are a fast car that doesn't want to drive fast right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll figure it out and decide to drive fast. But it's also possible that someone open up the hood of that Corvette and put in a Pinto motor and they ain't got no fast left. Like, I'm not sure. And that's what I need to find out in the final 28 games.
Yeah.
Like, are you a team that just hasn't hit the gas yet?
Mm-hmm.
And you will, and you're just going to race right back up to the 4 seed or the 5 seed and, you know, get into a first round matchup with a team that maybe you can beat. Maybe it's a OKC team that you've had their number a good portion of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what happens. Or maybe you don't have it. Like, there's nothing hiding down in the pedal. Like, when you stomp on that gas, it's not there.
That's where we talk about 5-game stretches and breaking the season down to these 5-game increments. We're going to learn the answer to this exact question in the next 5 games.
Probably.
Like, that's going to be it.
But I would also caution, I agree, but I'm not saying if they lose, if they go 2-3, that they're done.
No, but it's the manner
how
that
they
playing.
Do it. Yes. Yeah. You have to beat the Spurs tonight handily. You've got to give more of an effort against the Clippers on Sunday.
Yep.
The second night of a back-to-back, you've got to find a way to beat the Miami Heat. They're not a great team.
That's it.
That's on Monday.
Yep.
And then you get to Minnesota, and it's a coin flip. As long as you're close and the game ends up being...
It's Denver first.
Mm-hmm. And like, look, you could lose to Denver. They could throttle up because they're already 3-0 down to you on the mm-hmm. season and say, hey, look, we can't give them any sort of false hope.
Right.
Especially since Denver could be a 4 seed and you could be a 5 seed.
That very, very easily could be a first-round matchup for the Kings.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.